Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Back here on Cody and Gold alongside Cody Tapp, I'm Alex Gold. Grant Nicholson in for Nick Schwert today. Pete Sweeney, our Chiefs insider, going to join us coming up in about 8 minutes or so. Of course, the editor-in-chief over at Arrowhead Pride will get his perspective on the Chiefs and the Washington football team. I'm curious to get the gut feeling from Pete on some of these guys that have been injured all week, whether or not we're going to see them. He's been spot on the last couple weeks when we've had him on. We kind of asked him last week what his gut feeling was on Chris Jones playing or not and some guys, and he was correct in not having Chris Jones. Does he think there's a chance Chris Jones is going to play? Is he worried that Tyreek Hill could not play this week? Of course, Andy will talk at one, but prior to that, Pete Sweeney going to join us coming up in just a little bit. Each and every Friday, in addition to our show bet, which you can now bet on, or at least pick, I should say, at 610 Sports KC.
I'm going to go bet for my teaser.
What's the show bet? We put out the poll question at 610 Sports KC. Do we have the current results so far? Where are things at? We do this for our listener bar tab. Right now, it looks like, and you have a couple more hours, 44% like the teaser. Chiefs minus a half point.
Okay,
Pittsburgh, Seattle over 36.5, 6-point teaser. 41% say our listener bet should be Kansas City, Washington over 54.5 points. 15%, as expected, going with the Texans plus 10.
Do you guys have veto power here? Because I would do the teaser.
We have largely been just going
it's the
with
listeners. It's the listener
the
poll.
Listeners. Okay. It's your bar
the teaser's more fun.
Yeah, the only thing that we decide in the 1 o'clock hour is how much money we're putting on it. They don't decide the dollar amount, but the bet is it's the listeners decide the bets. It's as simple as that.
So if you want to vote for that teaser, get on there. It's 610 Sports KC.
We also do our three big spotlight games, and Nick's not here, so I figure we'll actually be able to get through these this time, which is kind of nice.
That'd be nice.
Right? Tennessee and Buffalo. This is a fun matchup. Monday Night Football. Last year, if you remember right, it was a blowout win in that showdown. Derrick Henry is going to absolutely destroy the Buffalo Bills defense, but honestly, this might be reverse flip. What?
Will Derek remind us that we need to remember the Titans and
why
make the
is
argument
it still here?
That he should be crowned King Henry of the MVP race? Or will Josh Stallion be the one running wild this Sunday and have the Titans' championship aspirations falling harder than Niagara?
Why? Grant, you don't have to play these just because Nick said you had
He's not here and he's still interrupting in the middle of this when we're talking about three games? Remember the Titans, of course.
Come on, you knew he was going to go with the Remember the Titans.
Of course he was going to work that one in.
I had specific instructions to play these.
Oh,
he wanted me.
Goodness.
This was very important. This was very important to him.
Coming out on Friday, really, Grant, the only thing you need to worry about is specifically making sure I get these played for Titans in Buffalo.
This is the only thing in bold.
This game's interesting, though, honestly. It's Monday night, and A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, are they both going to be available maybe for the first time and healthy and ready to roll along with Derrick Henry? Because we haven't seen this full
just how
offense.
Good their offense
and so that's a big question. Look, the Chiefs play the Titans the next week, so I'm this is a game we'll all be glued into, not only to see what Buffalo does again, but what does Tennessee look like? The Bills, we know, blew out the Chiefs, so if Tennessee hangs tough with the Bills, does that make you nervous heading into the Chiefs game a week from now? So Bills, Titans, one of the big games this weekend for sure.
Then, of course, you've got Cleveland and Arizona, because the only undefeated team left in football still exists, and Cleveland has been very good, but has stumbled a little bit more here lately, which means you're asking the question of just how good they can be. Arizona just added Zach Ertz. I fully expect them to be.
Will Baker have the dog pound howling as he gives Arizona a Cleveland steamer and the Browns rock and roll the cards? Or will Kyler be king of this showdown between Sooner signal callers as Cliff gets himself a six-pack of wins to match the six-pack beneath his shirt?
Oh, man.
Even when he's gone, he's going to comment on Cliff's looks?
Nobody,
it's like the 15th time this year.
Nobody comments on coaches' looks more than one Nick Schwert.
He has that unlocked.
The six-pack was, yeah, we saw that one coming from a mile away at that point in time. Yeah, can the Cardinals stay undefeated? We just mentioned Zach Ertz can't play in this game, but they're all in, clearly, as Ross was saying. You look at the moves they've been able to make, and Kyler Murray's been just fantastic. And look, if they start 6-0, including now, like they've already beat the Rams, but if they beat the Browns this week as well, then I think I'll start to buy in more big picture of them. Because I think they're a very good team, but I'm not ready to say, like, oh yeah, man, I'm picking them to go to the Super Bowl. And they're undefeated, I get it. But if they beat Cleveland, you start racking. I mean, at some point, I have to admit that, all right,
and
they are
capable.
And
they're not like the Steelers that have like obvious flaws last year. They were 11-0, but we knew they had problems. What problems do you really see with Arizona? Like, they're a good offense,
just a young
defense, they're young.
Young quarterback, unproven coach, you know, that would be it. They have veterans that have playoff experience, but not the quarterback spot, and their head coach still is an inexperienced coach overall, right? But if they start racking up some more of these, including a big-time game this week against Cleveland, I think Cleveland wins this game, by the way. I think the Cardinals get their first loss. Then you do have to buy in more to the Cardinals than where I'm at. The other spotlight game for the weekend, and then Pete Sweeney's going to join us coming up in about 3 minutes or so. We'll talk some Chiefs football. Baltimore against the Chargers. What a quarterback matchup. Lamar Jackson had that massive Monday Night Football performance. He goes up against Justin Herbert. We've seen what the Chargers are doing, and I think we're
just going to keep playing
Will
these no matter
Lamar
what we
have
do.
Will saying that so, Raven? When he uses his third eye to scan the field and have fans calling it a purple nurple as Baltimore adds a twist to the AFC power rankings? Or will Justin have us thinking it's Ray Lewis playing quarterback for L.A. as Herbert gets charged with murder after killing the Ravens defense? God.
Nick!
Oh, my.
Grant, did you listen to these
goodness.
Before?
That was one of the requests. Don't listen to him. He said just play him.
Wow.
He said play him as is.
He made a That's So Raven reference, which is like a mid-90s Nickelodeon sitcom. Oh. No one in our audience got the That's So Raven reference, only to dial back into the Ray Lewis murder
or
jokes.
Will Ray Lewis play quarterback and be charged with murder? That was a line that he threw in there.
This game matters
a lot
for the AFC. We know that.
It's massive. I can't wait. I hate that it's at the noon window, same time as the Chiefs game. I wish this was Sunday Night Football or late Sunday window so we could focus our full attention, because I want to see these two quarterbacks go head-to-head. I cannot wait. And you're right. It's massive. Look, you're rooting for the Ravens, of course, to win this game. You need the Chargers if you're thinking about division. You should be rooting for Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens to beat the Chargers. The Chargers are underdogs in this game, by the way. Chargers are, what, 2.5-point underdogs road against the Baltimore Ravens.
Which is surprising, just considering how well they've played to this point of the season, that they're underdogs against anyone. We got to give the Ravens an edge, man. They've continued to play well, and they're at home.
So those are our three spotlight games. Even with Nick gone, he managed to find a way to give us his previews for these games as well. But each and every Friday, we're joined by our Chiefs insider. Grant, do we have our intro for Pete Sweeney? I know Nick's not here, but this is a requirement for Pete Sweeney. He can't come on the show until it's played.
Pete Sweeney. It's in his contract. Pete Sweeney. 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 Wakes up in
the morning. Oh, yeah. There it is. Pete Sweeney over at Arrowhead Pride, our Chiefs insider. Pete. Long time no see. It was just like 2 hours or so ago on Fesco in the morning that we had a chance to talk to you a little bit. How are you feeling now? Has your life changed in the last 2 hours or so?
Nope, still feeling pretty poorly about the Chiefs. Glad you guys played my intro. I was going to have to call my agent had that not happened.
I need to address something. I have to address something before we get to the Chiefs. Yeah, it needs to be brought up, and we're a little concerned. I know Nick's not here to talk to you about this, but I feel like I since I'm the only one here, it has to be done. Our Guillotine League, the Nick and Gold League, the Pete's Pirates are back and everything. It's been a nice start for you, but yeah, I was informed. Cody just flat out told us, in fact, that he's been trying to talk to you, getting some inside scoop about our league. That's not allowed, Pete. You can't be sharing insider secrets.
Yep, Pete's Pirates, as you mentioned, are back. And, yeah, you got to do whatever it takes to win. And that includes Cody seeing how much Nick might be bidding. He's not here right now, and so we'll do that. And Cody, you know, Cody's trying to support me, and I understand that. He's a good friend of mine.
Yeah, I'm just trying to help Pete with his team in the other league.
We're watching you.
Just so, you know, he's only been in a Guillotine League for, what, a few weeks last year? He got cut from our league quick this year. He's just looking for some insight.
I got two people on speed dial for this Guillotine League. It's Cody, and then sometimes I'll call Church, you know, see what he says.
Just straight to him. That makes a lot of sense. We're talking to Pete Sweeney, our Chiefs insider over at Arrowhead Pride. Pete, is Chris Jones going to play this week? Is Tyreek Hill going to play this week? You're the injury prognosticator. Who's actually going to play in this game?
I think the way that it's sort of tracking and the way Andy Reid has talked about these injuries this week, I tend to think the only people that are in danger of missing are the ones who missed last week in Charvarius Ward and Chris Jones. I think this Chris Jones thing is a shutdown situation where they're just going to rest him until he feels like he's 100% again. I think they came to a point where they said, look, Chris Jones is not the same player with this wrist injury. He can't do some of the hand-fighting things that we're used to him doing, some of the pass rush moves. He's in a lot of discomfort. We're not getting that version of Chris Jones that we need anyway. Let's shut him down. Let's put some players that are 100% in, and then when you can get Chris Jones back 100%, that elite level of player, they'll put him back in the lineup. I tend to think it'll be another game-time decision, and I'm curious to see if he does play. I think the other players are fine, even though they've been missing practice this week. You're talking about some veterans who really don't need necessarily to be on the field to feel good about them playing. Tyreek Hill is a player whose status I would watch today. I think that Andy Reid likes to have these guys at least play some type of practice during the week, and if Hill is out once again, I'm beginning to question if we may get a questionable status for Tyreek Hill, which of course would be of great concern just considering how teams have sort of played the Chiefs and been able to take either Hill or Kelce away. Hill's not on the field, then all of a sudden Kelce, I think, becomes the point of focus for a defense in Washington that has underperformed, to say the least.
Yeah, what's that offense look like? Let's say Tyreek can't go. I mean, Josh Gordon, what was it? He had 20 snaps planned for him. He only had 9, though, because Andy said, what, on Monday they went up tempo.
Hurry up.
Figure, of course, they have more plans already for him this Sunday, but if Tyreek's a no-go, I mean, how much Josh Gordon are we going to see?
Yeah, Josh Gordon at that point becomes huge, which is like wild to say. Like, we would have never thought in a million years that that would be the case, like, as soon as like 4 weeks ago. I mean, you talk about us seeing each other 2 hours ago. Josh Gordon, in the case of Hill not playing, would just be a key player for the Chiefs in the sense that, okay, let's say Washington is able to figure out a way to curb Kelce to an extent with double or bracket or just extra attention in general. I think Gordon becomes the next go-to receiver because don't forget, like, Clyde Edwards-Helaire currently is out of the lineup. I'm not necessarily sure how much Jerick McKinnon in the pass game would come into play. So, yeah, some of these names of yesteryear, in a sense, in NFL terms, would be of importance to these Chiefs.
Pete, we know the teams have completely shifted to the let's never blitz the Chiefs under any circumstance style of defense. I think the it's working has largely been overplayed just based on some of the numbers. The only thing that is working in that scenario is they're holding them to some turnovers, which could be related to the fact that they're playing more, it's taking them more downs to get down there, but could be related to the fact that a few of them have been unlucky or Mahomes has made a couple of very bad decisions, ones he wouldn't necessarily always make. Will teams just keep doing this until they drop 40 because it's better than the alternative of allowing the occasional 60-yard touchdown?
I think you got the key there, and you, in a way, you answered your own question. And you're right. If you look at the numbers, the Chiefs are still top 5 in points per game, and they're putting up a ton of yardage higher side in the NFL. What the strategy is doing in playing guys more so in coverage and not blitzing at all and whatnot, it's elongating the drives. And so what that means is maybe you're having a 13 or 14 play drive instead of a 4 or 5 play drive where it is Mahomes to Hill, for example, for 40 yards. And what do more plays mean? Well, more opportunities to cause turnovers. And when the Chiefs are turning over the football, that's where you're seeing teams take advantage and have more opportunities to score touchdowns themselves. And then given the fact that the Chiefs' defense is playing so poorly, you're getting in these types of games where they're able to match the Chiefs' offensive production despite it being top five. So it's more plays, and it's like if the Chiefs are going to score a touchdown on us, let's make them earn it as opposed to a huge explosive, you know, you get Travis Kelce down the field for 45 yards, you have like a long run, misdirection type thing out of the backfield, and then all of a sudden they're in the end zone. No, let's get more opportunities to turn the football over. And Mahomes is throwing more interceptions than he has ever through this six picks. He only had six picks all of last season, and the Chiefs have been putting the ball on the ground with fumble. So that has to be cleaned up, and I think teams cleaned up, maybe playing them and sort of making things in a certain
Pete, when we're, you know, when we're looking at what they're doing offensively, you know, to me, it's like that plan only works as long as the defense is playing this poorly. Because if at any stage you get down or you can't perform offensively the way their defense is letting it up, then you're in the same boat, right? You're just in trouble.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I think, and I mentioned this on Fesco in the morning on the Chiefs roundtable, I just think, like, it's going to get to a certain point where if the Chiefs defense can stop opposing teams on fourth down, and then suddenly you're giving Patrick Mahomes, let's say, yards to go instead of what would be a field plane or, you know, 75, for example, and he's just scoring in a few plays. Like, then I think teams are going to start thinking twice. But at this stage, teams are saying, you know what, on fourth down, it's usually working out for teams. Why wouldn't you go for it on fourth down if it's anywhere past, you know, getting those three-down stops in opposing territory early in drives is key, and we're not seeing the Chiefs really do that at all, which is allowing teams on the other side to feel comfortable going for it on fourth down.
So much has been made this start of the season and certainly this week with Dan Sorensen, his level of play, and everybody wanting Juan Thornhill to play more. We heard Spags yesterday kind of mention that, you know, they're not going to reveal their plan, but it sounded as if they're at least looking more into it publicly than what we've heard in the past in terms of altering some playing time. How much is Daniel Sorensen going to play? And ultimately, if Juan Thornhill does play more, does it really matter if Chris Jones isn't playing? Does it matter if Frank Clark and Jaron Reed aren't getting pressure?
The defensive line needs to play better. I think you're kind of nailing it on the head and answering your own question, because if the defensive line doesn't play better, I just think the Chiefs are not going to be a good defense overall. I mean, you could say that about a lot of defenses in the NFL. I mean, that's just the case. You need to get pressure on the opposing quarterback. It's a little easier when you're playing Taylor Heinicke instead of Josh Allen, but the case remains. When it comes to that safety position, the free safety position, I'm anticipating that a change is made. Now, what does that mean? That means that Juan Thornhill is going to be the second safety. You're still going to see Dan Sorensen as the third safety in what would be considered dime looks. So it's not like you're completely benching him and getting rid of him. I think when he's playing a role like that, he actually is a solid player. He's just been put in this starting situation, and time and time again this year, we've just seen him fail at that. And I think the Chiefs finally address it this week. Everything from the press conferences seems to point in that direction. I said this on Twitter yesterday. They're never going to come out and outright and say, you know, Dan Sorensen is so bad, we're benching him. I mean, this is a player that has had great playoff performances in the past, one that helped lead the Chiefs to a championship in that divisional round game. They're treating it with care, but I think you see in action they make the move to Juan Thornhill on Sunday. I'm pretty confident about that.
Pete, why did they increase his playing time? Like, in my brain, it's like Sorensen's always played 99.999% of the snaps, but he played 82% of them last year. He was actually below that number before they started playing him more as the season got later in the year. And the year before that, he played in all 16 games, but only played 50% of the snaps. When did they decide playing Dan Sorensen more was the plan they were going with?
I think it goes into the idea that, like, Spags really likes players that understand scheme and understand him schematically. And, you know, Sorensen does, I think, understand the scheme. He's just playing poorly. He has the physical limitations, and what's happening now is he's actually making mental mistakes. We have a great article reviewing the defense right now up at arrowheadpride.com that we put up this morning, and it kind of shows you exactly what I'm talking about with Dan Sorensen. He's making critical mistakes, and I think finally it's become too great of a problem to ignore anymore. As much as they would like to continue playing Daniel Sorensen and then him being able to work it out in his own right, I think it's gotten to the point where they need to make a move or it's going to continue to cost the Chiefs wins.
That is Pete Sweeney. He's our Chiefs insider, the editor-in-chief over at arrowheadpride.com. Thanks as always, Pete. We'll check in next week, man.
Yeah, Cody, see what you can get out of Gold about the guillotine.
No, nothing. Nothing's going to happen.
Now they're going to think I'm spying. That's enough.
No. You know you're not getting any information.
He was just asking for all Pete. All I was doing, I guess, was asking for help.
This is
on,
you. Don't. This is more you. This I know is more it is, you.
But
here.
I just wanted to know who was getting who. That's all. I just want to know who's good in your league. Because I'm rooting against you, obviously.
Yeah, we have a wheel spin that you're going to get knocked out.
Yeah, that I'm going to get knocked out of my league before you get knocked out of yours.
Mm-hmm.
We're not even. We can't even go head to head. What happens if we get knocked out the same week? We had not discussed
well, nobody
that.
Spends.
Yeah, that's fair. I guess the audience would probably prefer we both spin in that scenario.
Yeah, both of you should spin.
Well, I know. I'm glad you're into the spin. You've had some time to think. You're spinning at 1:30 or so today. You're spinning the wheel.
I don't know if that's been officially decided.
I think so.
I'm aware of the wheel, but I'm not aware of all the options on
the
wheel.
Okay, so some of them. Hold on.
Yeah, let us pull the wheel forward. We'll let you know. Because none of us are scheduled to do a punishment today. Last Friday, I jumped through a table, although that wasn't even the punishment. It was more the Nutcracker costume.
Which you also did.
Which Friday was interesting last week.
So they
a little more calm Friday today for me.
They can be as simple as radio karaoke. There's nothing embarrassing about that, Grant. A little
song.
Yeah,
you ready to sing a song this afternoon?
This afternoon? I don't know.
That would probably be preferable to playing the recorder for tips. Like on
hot
the street.
Hot cross buns.
When's the last time you played a recorder?
Hot cross buns.
Fifth grade?
Yeah, that's the answer anyone would give in this scenario. Who has played a recorder since then? That's absolutely impossible. Wax legs is probably not something you're super interested in.
Yeah, but that one's not that bad.
What?
But have you had this done?
No, but
do you
like,
not have hairy legs?
I don't have very hairy legs.
Okay.
How would you feel about having to grow a mustache for a month?
Don't you already kind of have something going on?
He said that's fine.
You already kind of have something going.
So this isn't even all that bad for you. I mean, there's some other things. I remember he had to go dress in bar hop. We certainly have left that on the board to this point, but that's a good chunk of it. There's also, by the way, just so you know, for any time you spin, of the 14 spots, there is one that says pass the punishment. So somebody else would have to spin instead.
Oh, that would suck. He spins the wheel today and he passes it to me. And he gets to pass it to somebody else. That would be terrible.
I'm just letting you know that is on there. So they're not also bad. The hot chip is still on there, but we got to replace that. So I'm looking for a suggestion to replace that at 913-576-7610.
Yeah, we do need some more options for the wheelie bad half hour. Cody, still next week or the week after, owes us a bet payoff, which is the signboard or sandwich board. You've got to
make the board.
It's promoting the show, so it's really not that. I don't even think that's that bad of a punishment.
You leave
work a half hour early. You stand on the
corner. Do I go stand at the plaza and hand out flyers and say Cody Gold? That doesn't sound that great.
It promotes the show. It's not a flyer that's saying like I need help or something or I have STDs or something, and you have to hand out flyers.
It's unpleasant if I had to hand that out.
It's promoting the show. Yeah, see, maybe that's what it should have been. But it's you promoting the show. That's not that embarrassing.
It's nice, though, because, well, I mean, it is still somewhat embarrassing. I also like the idea of, like, me being shooed away somewhere, because someone's not going to like that I've decided to stand in front of their establishment
loitering,
handing out these
flyers. Cody's loitering in front of the, Grand Falloon down on the plaza.
It's got to be some high traffic area. Otherwise, the punishment's not really worth it. My favorite one on there might be that you have to be a bathroom attendant in this bathroom. Like, mints, ask for a tip, pour some soap in their hand.
You might make some money actually doing this, though.
I know, but just the idea that you're having to sit in there and do it. It's
a little spritz of cologne.
A little spritz of cologne. Just that whole idea.
Text line says Beer Mile, Waffle House Challenge. The Waffle House Challenge has almost gotten too popular now because of the story with the fantasy football leagues. Now it's like, that's not even, I mean, it's worthy, but that's a 24-hour deal, right? That's something that would be, it has to be on the weekend.
What, am I going
to
do the whole show?
That's what I'm saying.
From Waffle House, miserably uncomfortable, trying to talk about stuff?
I still don't know. How would you attack that? Do you go heavy? Like, you load up?
Oh, I think I try to get three down right away.
Do you go three or four waffles immediately? Because I think once you start eating one, you're going to have the same feel. You might as well try to get four of them in and then feel miserable versus doing one where you're like semi-full.
I think I'm hoping to eat maybe eight and stay for 16 hours.
Okay.
I mean, that's best case scenario.
Text line also says, you guys think the Pete Sweeney intro sounds like Pete Sweeney?
No, we don't hear it.
No, it's Pete Sweeney. Pete Sweeney. From Arrowhead Pride.
Pete Sweeney.
Pete Sweeney.
Should have enunciated, maybe.
Pete Sweeney.
I don't hear it. I don't hear what everybody else is
I don't know why everybody hears it when we play the intro. I don't know. Get that. Get your mind out of the gutter and stuff on a Friday. It's just our Chiefs insider, Pete Sweeney. Coming up next, it's the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Cody says this is not a good season to judge this individual in particular.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game.
That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The 11 a.m. hour is brought to you by Laird Noller Ford Lawrence.
Chiefs Red Half Hour, every day at 11:30 on Cody and Gold.
The Chiefs Red Half Hour is brought to you by E. Edwards Workwear, proud partner of Carhartt Clothing. Hanging out here on a Red Friday alongside Cody Tapp, I'm Alex Gold. Grant Nicholson in for Nick Schwert. Coming up at 1 o'clock, we'll head out to Arrowhead. You'll hear from Andy Reid one final time before the Chiefs head out to the nation's capital to take on the Washington football team on Sunday. Certainly going to be interesting injury-wise with Chris Jones banged up, with Tyreek Hill banged up, Charvarius Ward obviously as well. So we'll keep an eye on that throughout the afternoon and at 1 o'clock. You believe this is not a good season to judge one individual in this Chiefs organization.
Hey, there's plenty of criticism to go around, right, in this group, just based on the way this season has started. But I don't think this is a good season to put your entire, oh, this isn't working with Brett Veach stuff. This is like the Spag stuff. Being overcritical of Brett Veach in this season alone seems silly for a variety of reasons. One of which is that he was the GM of record for back-to-back Super Bowl trips. He is responsible for what is probably the best contract in the entire NFL. I got to ask that in a Washington interview, like, hey, are they regretting that Patrick Mahomes contract? I'm like, I would do it 15 times over. Not even a little bit. Nobody even talks about that in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Nobody, if you are, you're an idiot. I'm sorry. If you're the guy be like, I don't know about this Mahomes contract, you're an idiot. If you're thinking that, just think something different instead. But I don't think that this is a good season to judge Brett Veach in for a couple of reasons. Yes, he is still partially responsible, as I pointed out, for the defensive players who were on the field and doing this thing. But as we've pointed out, if the players still aren't playing right, some of that is not just on Veach that they can't line up right. Daniel Sorensen has largely been lining up right for years. So why is he now not lining up right? Why is he now lost? All those things. But he was hindered. I don't know why we don't put more factor into the amount of money he was given, not from his own doing, but because the league took a nosedive financially due to the COVID year. They were supposed to have an extra, what, $25 million in payroll available to them? This was all part of the plan. They're working on a three-year plan. When they paid Frank Clark, when they traded for him and then paid him, when they paid Chris Jones even a little bit, to a point I know that hadn't fully come. By then, they had kind of known. They knew, like, the financial ramifications were not fully known of what was going to take place in this. They're hurt mostly by Frank Clark's contract being an albatross now. But would you go back, you know, the butterfly, would you go back and do that? That's the only part of this where I'd be like, all right, maybe you screwed up the Frank Clark deal. Everything else makes sense. Would you have not paid Travis Kelce? Would you have not paid Tyreek Hill? Would you have not paid Patrick Mahomes? Were there people saying they wouldn't want to pay Chris Jones? Where is the real flaw in what they do unless you're going to go full draft?
Yeah, I feel like you're preaching the choir. I feel this is kind of, I thought we were on opposite sides on this for a while.
This is the year to judge Brett Veachon. I don't think so.
I 100% agree with you. I mean, that's kind of where I've been. And when we've had conversations about Brett Veach in the past, doesn't mean mistakes haven't been made. But
yeah,
I don't love his draft.
I think he's an average drafter. That doesn't mean I think he's a bad GM.
Because you've been more critical than I have in general about
specifically
his
the drafting.
Yeah. But no, this year, look, part of their job is, of course, to get it right. Part of their job is to also have some foresight that, all right, someone is getting older and dropping off, right? So sure. There's certainly some points to be made there. But yeah, I mean,
Frank Clark, he was 27. He wasn't 33.
Right. And so
he's not even 30 yet.
I've probably defended him a little bit more than anybody on this show. I just in terms of some of the moves they have made, and obviously doesn't mean that bad decisions aren't made in the process. But yeah, this year I think there's a long list of people that I would point to before I would get to the general manager of this team. Yes, he's in charge of constructing the roster. And yeah, he does have to be able to predict to a certain extent when guys are not going to be able to perform. But they clearly, to this point, 6 weeks in, have completely misevaluated what Jaron Reed could bring to this team, whether that's a general manager decision or whether that was.
And that was his biggest offseason signing.
Yeah. On defense. Because obviously Joe Tooney was the biggest one, and he's been fine. And hopefully he has a chance to play. We'll see with his fractured hand, which is wild. He's unbelievable. But as far as Jaron Reed,
break your hand. We're gonna put that on the wheel, Grant. Hammer to it.
My frustration when we have Brett Veach conversations. My frustration is always we mention that people say, well, overall, and when we're not talking about Brett Veach, people will say, well, Andy ultimately has final say. And we say that when positive things happen. Like, Andy has, he doesn't get credit.
What if Andy had final say on Jaron Reed, you're saying?
But when it's a negative thing, well, then it's all on Brett Veach. So to me, it can't be both ways. Yes, he is the general manager for the Kansas City Chiefs. That's his title. His role is to build the roster. But we do know, if we're going to say in other conversations, that, well, Andy's really, if Andy wants a guy, they're going to get the guy for Andy. And I agree with that. But if we're going to do that, then we also, when we have conversations about Brett Veach, have to understand that maybe there is a chance that Spags and Andy Reid, and I'm just using Jaron Reed as an example.
Sure.
Maybe, and I have no idea who was the voice in the room pounding on the table for Jaron
Reed. Andy did love him up during camp.
He did. And so my thought is maybe it was Andy Reid, and I'm sure Spags, right? And they
Frank Clark?
Who knows? And the reports were at least Frank was pushing it, but you don't solely listen to a player. You gotta
no.
But yes,
no.
It doesn't hurt. So that's my only thing when we talk about Veach is like, Andy Reid, Spags, like I'm sure they were pushing for the Jaron Reed signing as well. So it just has to work both ways if we're gonna give credit on both sides of it.
They would be in a better position certainly right now if they had just been better at drafting. But I've told you before, you can go through any GM's first couple of years as a GM. It does not go well. Just on aggregate, 90% of the time. GM's drafting, their first draft, it's not good, okay? It's just not good. So his first draft is a complete flush-it-down-the-toilet situation other than Derek Nnadi, who's a perfectly fine player. No complaints about drafting a guy like Derek Nnadi, but no other player on that entire draft is even worth anything.
From that draft, yeah.
From that draft. They are completely useless. The following draft, there is two players you count on. They are Mecole Hardman and Juan Thornhill. They got a little bit of juice out of Fenton. I take it back. Fenton, they count on a little bit, too. They got a little bit of juice out of some guys for a few years, but it's like, fine. Over the last 2 years, I'm seeing signs that he's putting those things together. But the problems he's running into now are problems like where these guys were on the roster or have already been under contract, like Anthony Hitchens. And I get it. He is partially responsible for some of these things, but they were trying to fix the league's worst defense at that time. My biggest complaint is that it's not already fixed, because it feels like you already did this teardown. But because the offensive line was so bad, you had to make a choice.
And I know it sounds crazy because we're watching the worst defense
now. This is the worst defense.
But I still go, if we go
you'd
back,
you'd still
to,
do it the
I,
same way?
I would still, I mean, I would like to.
I probably would spend one less resource. I would probably not sign Tooney and spend $60 million on a defensive player, but.
We were both on the same page. We wanted them to bring in Melvin Ingram or Justin Houston. I would obviously have brought in a pass rusher. We wanted that at the time. But I still am trying to protect my $500 million quarterback and long-term solutions. To me, your left guard is set for the next four years now in Joe Tooney. Your center in Creed Humphrey is set for the next 4 or 5 years. Your right guard is set for the next 4 or 5 years. Right tackle, we shall see with Niang.
I think left tackle we shall see.
I mean, I think he's going to be on this team long term.
Sure.
I mean, Orlando Brown's been
okay. Yeah, he's not been bad.
He's been okay.
Been fine.
That's kind of where I'm at on Brown right now.
He also cost probably $15 million less than Eric Fisher would have cost you this year had you just maintained his contract and he stayed healthy.
I know we obviously,
so
wish
that's good.
Obviously wish Eric Fisher the best, but he has not been good for the Colts since he's come back. That offensive line that was once a strength for the Colts is no longer a strength. No.
And if you look over the last 2 years, Clyde is a starter, Willie Gay is a starter, Lucas Niang is a starter in an important position, Snead is a starter in an important position, Dana is a regular rotation piece that you use all the time. That's it. Pretty much everybody you drafted 2 years ago. And this year,
you got two offensive line starters.
You have two starters on the offensive line, a linebacker who has started for you the entire year, and then maybe some positivity with Noah Gray. Like I'm going to go ahead and write off Kane Doe and Cornell Powell, but that's how any draft would go. And I, you know, like, I don't like to compare it to the priest because, like, people be like, well, look at Dorsey. You see how bad it goes? I'm like, okay. Someone tried to, like, I don't even remember.
Dorsey was big time boomer bust. We saw that.
Yes, but, like, boom is Hall of Famers.
Exactly.
No one cares about anything else. Be like, look at those guys who didn't play. I'm like, he has three Hall of Famers on the list.
For sure.
If you get Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and Patrick Mahomes, I don't care if you're bad at other things.
Yeah. Couldn't manage the cap and other things, obviously, but yes.
But if you can draft Hall of Famers, man,
yeah,
it almost doesn't matter.
I think you have to be evaluating no matter where you're drafting, but assuming the Chiefs are going to consistently be picking 28 to 32.
Yeah, but Kelce was in the third round. Hill was in the fifth round.
No, but my point being in general, like if you're versus drafting 15th in the draft, it's going at pick 32. And this year, of course, they traded it for a left tackle. Like it's not apples to apples necessarily. But yeah, ultimately they're going to, I think we can clearly tell whether it's wide receiver or pass rusher and defensive players overall next year. Like that has got to be the focus in the draft. We already know, like we don't have to go any further in the season. You already should know what the focus in next year's draft is. It has to be, in my opinion, be wide receiver and defensive players in general across the board with whatever enemy picks you end up with.
What could be good about it here is that at first, you know, like, and I'd still be interested in drafting a wide receiver because I'm always in to try to cheapen that position and get better at it. But this is part of where the Josh Gordon is playing the long game. You're hoping he turns into a valuable asset for you, Gold, so that you can do what the Bucks are doing with Antonio Brown, who signed to them for this year for dirt cheap. He was league min last year. He cost nothing. But then he essentially cost nothing again this year, and he's back to being a number one wide receiver that you have on your roster for almost nothing. Now, I assume if the Bucks want to keep Antonio Brown next year, they're going to have to finally pony up, which means I think he's going to be a free agent and go somewhere else. But you buy 2 years of having an extra elite weapon. And I don't know that Josh Gordon can still turn into that. Obviously, Antonio Brown had been much more recent.
He was already a better player.
Good.
He was already a better player.
Already a better
anyway.
Player, and it had been a lot sooner since he was a regular good. It's maybe the diet version of the same type of thing, but that's what you need to do now. Because with Pringle and DeMarcus Robinson and all that, you know that that's not the solution. And whoever they take in the third or fourth round at wide receivers, not going to do it. If they want to get better at wide receiver next year, they're either going to have to hope Josh Gordon takes a leap and you can bring him back cheap, or they're going to have to draft one. Because you cannot spend too many assets making the offense better next year.
Yeah, that's an insanely high bar if the expectation...
And I'm not saying draft seven defensive players.
They, of course, you're not wrong. I mean, if ideally Josh Gordon performs well this year, they can bring him back next year. He's your number two wide receiver. We're a long ways away from that. I mean, the guy played 9 snaps on Sunday against the Buffalo Bills. We'll see what the snap count is and what production it is. But like Antonio Brown looks like a number one wide receiver again. So... And was always better, and you pointed out the gap in play and all that. There's a lot more to the story for Josh Gordon. Not that Antonio Brown hasn't had problems off the field, but his production's never been the question. And it was just never the same type. Josh Gordon's never been Antonio Brown player-wise. So,
well, Antonio Brown's a first-ballot Hall of Famer, right?
So that's why, I mean, I don't think that's the bar we should be setting. Let's just see if
I'm
Josh
saying
Gordon
that
can
model.
Start getting
I'm not
a couple
saying...
catches a game and go from there.
Yeah, I'm not saying you're going to get those results. I'm saying that's the model. The model is we bring in this guy. He plays pretty well for us. We bring him back super cheap next year. He's even slightly more productive. Great. Now we kind of solve that problem for 2 years, just kind of biding our time. I'm not expecting him to have Antonio Brown production.
Yeah, that would be...
He has the best wide receiver unit in the entire NFL, Tom Brady.
No, it's not close. Yeah, Mike Evans has had a quiet year. Seems like Mike Evans has been quiet this year. Mike Evans is a very talented wide receiver. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin... And Antonio Brown is an insanely talented wide receiver room that the Bucks have. No question. Watching that last night again.
I don't want to get back into that game. It just makes me depressed that Tom Brady's never going to go away.
Nice. We know that now. Yeah. I said Mike Evans hasn't even had that good. He still has 420 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Did you just say?
Right. Last night, he had two catches for 27.
He's had a quiet year. He's 422 yards?
I know.
Over what? I guess they've played six games. He's catching 70 yards a game. He's on pace for 1,200 yards.
Antonio Brown, by the way, has 418 yards and four touchdowns himself on 29 catches.
Well, he's also on pace for 1,200 yards. Yeah. Would you like to go Godwin just
to complete
the trifecta?
Chris Godwin, at this point in time, has 409 and two touchdowns.
So he's on pace for 1,200 yards. And I'm going to guess Rob Gronkowski is on pace for like seven,
Gronk's got
even though he's missed the last two games.
Gronk's got like all his internal injuries right now.
His body is broken.
Gronk, 184 and four touchdowns, and he's missed two games.
So he's prime pace for like 700 yards. Yeah, that check. That's right.
Have 3,000 yard receivers.
195 yards.
Are they gonna have 3,000 yard receivers?
It's more than Mecole Hardman has. Well, no, it's not more. It's about the same as Mecole Hardman has. That's their fourth option. Although, in fairness, Mecole Hardman is their fourth option. Offensively, probably, give or take. The Chiefs just do it different. They do it more.
Well, with Mecole right now, they're barely throwing past the line of scrimmage to Mecole, and Mecole, he's not making the mistakes, so that's why he's kind of like, okay, I'm okay. I've come to grips with what he's going to be, so I'm okay with this. Like, they're not going down the field with him. He's not making mistakes. He's actually been very effective in when they've used, whether it's jet sweeps or just quick passes. They're not throwing the ball down the field to Mecole Hardman. In fairness, they're not throwing the ball down the field to many people right now in this Chiefs offense because of all the reasons we've discussed with how teams are playing him.
So I assume he is hurt more than most by the way teams are playing them defensively. But this isn't the version of Mecole Hardman any of us wanted, is it? He already has 30 targets this year. He had 62 last year. So he already has half of his entire target load in a third of the games. Right? So, I mean, he is taking a huge increase in target share on this offense.
Sammy Watkins is gone.
He is averaging 9 yards a catch. That's gross. No,
not throwing down the field. There's barely been.
Gross.
It's only been a
handful. That's worse than last year. That's 5 yards worse than last year.
How many of those
targets? Which was 7 yards worse than the year before.
How many of those targets have been beyond the line of scrimmage? Not many.
Average yards per target, 6.6. Last year, he was 9. The year before that, he was 13.1. I know that I've been asking for him to get an increased workload. I wanted him to matter in the important moments, the third downs, the mistake stuff. You're right, Gold. There's been a significant reduction in seemingly Patrick Mahomes throwing his arm up because Mecole Hardman's not standing where he's supposed to. But this is the worst version. This version's less good than the other Mecole Hardman. Like, I know we were trying to, like, morph him into something different, and we talked about the gadget player stuff, but as the gadget player stuff, he was also a home run player. What happened? Like, he used to be the heavy hitter. He's so fast, they have completely a way to utilize it. And I don't think it's his. I don't think he's slow.
The big plays in general are down. Yeah. We went through those numbers. The Chiefs in the middle of the pack.
Or is he the same? Like, because he's getting more targets to throw to him more.
He's definitely not better, but it's just, I would rather, he's not costing them games either.
And we,
that's not what we wanted to hear, but that's like, that, if you notice, for the first 5 weeks, nobody's really been talking about Mecole Hardman.
No, and typically just quietly, that's because the defense is too loud.
That too, but also because we're not talking about the random fumble. Not that the numbers are great, but honestly, if what you just discussed a short while ago, if Josh Gordon's able to get more of a load on this offense and all that, then Mecole Hardman can be just what he has been so far.
I guess
that
happens. Your point on where the defenses are attacking them is more than fair. But Tyreek Hill's still averaging 13.9 yards per catch.
Tyreek Hill's a future Hall of Famer at some point. Mecole Hardman.
Who do you compare him to?
I don't know.
Because 9 yards a catch is sad for a guy that has that kind of ability.
I'm not going to compare it to Tyreek Hill. You know what I mean? Obviously, Tyreek Hill is going to be more impressive. he's Tyreek Hill. I'd be very concerned if Mecole Hardman and Tyreek were doing similar things. We'd have a big problem on our hands if that was the case.
Do they need, I keep wondering, and again, because they're better at diagnosing NFL defenses than I am. Like, is there not a way to use Mecole further from the line of scrimmage to get more of what you want more often? Because how do you have this much speed and you can't get someone past the defense once? Like, Josh Gordon's height, Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman. I know that they're specifically playing defense designed to slow you down in that department. Yeah. So I know that that's part of the problem.
Just because
I absolutely know. But I like this version of Mecole Hardman less.
Yeah, just because we had this conversation today, you know he's going to have like a 45-yard touchdown on Sunday, right?
Mecole?
Yeah. You know that's happening
now,
right?
Sounds nice.
That's
because he's averaging 9 yards a catch. He can boost that number significantly.
Well, just because this conversation is existing. That's just, that's how this stuff goes.
I'm just saying they're giving him more of a role in the offense than he's ever had. Now, Josh Gordon just got into the offense. So were they looking at that and being like, you know what? He's not getting used. We're using him more, but less efficiently. That's the thing I've always said about McColl. I've never been critical to be like, why isn't he a 1,000-yard wide receiver, whatever. Mm-hmm. You and I are perfectly fine with 700-yard McColl Hardman.
Absolutely.
Just as long as the 50-yard touchdowns get sprinkled in there every three games, right? I can live with what McColl Hardman is. I got no complaints about the way he plays football. He fits a good role on this team, an important role on this team. But they've, like, taken that away from him. My one, like, and this is, and I know I keep it's relying pretty, on Josh pretty, Gordon to help
telling,
a lot of things.
Pretty
but,
telling, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean,
it is.
I do think so much is that where the defenses are playing the Chiefs right now. Until they get that problem solved, figure out how to attack it better, get the run, you know, can they continue to show teams that they're going to willingness to run the football? And now with Clyde out, Darrell Williams and Jerick McKinnon are going to have to do that. Is this where, and we joked about Fesco saying Tyreek Hill should line up at running back at times. McColl Hardman should be someone that lines up in the backfield occasionally, actually, and gets a random carry or two if they're going to put him in space to try to your point, utilize him in space a little bit more. I see people on the text line saying, why don't they move him more to Cordarrelle Patterson? Look at the bodies. They're just
body
Patterson is way
one.
Big. Cordarrelle, I mean, I don't have the exact size on him, but he's a bigger wide receiver.
He's 6 foot two, 225. We looked this up.
McColl Hardman's 5'10", a buck 87.
Yeah. Okay. And quarter, I think Patterson's like 210, 215. He's a big dude.
Yeah, they're just two different players.
You'd be more, you would have a better argument to say, why not let Josh Gordon run the ball?
Cordarrelle Patterson, 6'2", 220.
Yeah, that's what I said at first. Yeah,
yeah. You actually nailed it. Yeah.
I was like, I just looked this up. That's why I think I know it. Because I get the idea of like, let's run Tyreek or let's run McColl. But those guys are not the size of the kind. I don't mind if they get carries. But they can't say, like, Patterson's getting like 10, 12, 15 carries a game sometimes. I don't think you can do that with any of your wide receivers unless you're going to do it with Josh Gordon. And he's not fast enough.
That's not what I want him to be. That's not what I want to utilize. That's not why you brought him in. That's not what you're
going to
use him for.
Honestly, that's not where he's going to get
the big plays.
What
happens, though, if like Tyreek Hill's got a quad contusion? He didn't practice yesterday. We'll see where things are at. Andy's going to talk at 1 o'clock. You'll hear that here on your official broadcast partner for the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio. You want to be listening to that, kind of get a sense of what they believe Tyreek Hill's capable of. Hopefully, we hear at 1 o'clock that, oh, yeah, Tyreek's doing a little work today out of practice. And then you can say, okay, he'll be good to go. Chris Jones and stuff's a different story. But what we asked Pete Sweeney the question, what does this offense look like on Sunday if Tyreek Hill's out with the quad injury?
That was good.
Of course, Travis Kelce becomes that much more important. You don't have Clyde in the offense. You start losing some more weapons. It's Travis Kelce, and it is absolutely a Josh Gordon step-up type of game, great opportunity type of game. And we're having this conversation with McColl Hardman. Maybe that's why it is a game where he has a little bit different showing. Tyreek Hill missing against Washington, certainly better to miss this game than against, you know, a Green Bay team later in the season or even Tennessee next week, because I don't respect Washington the way I do Tennessee still.
Tennessee can still score.
But they can. Washington's defense has been a disaster.
Actually,
but
their offense has been the better of the two units.
Which one? The Washington.
Yeah.
Taylor Heineke has. But their defense, this is a game where you could, of course, still win without Tyreek Hill. But I'm hoping they've just been really precautionary with the quad contusion. So they're just like, let's just lay low for all week, and hopefully today's a limited practice for him, and he can play.
It's hard because Chris Jones, Pete's right. As I told you, like, it's just like, I'm not going to believe Chris Jones is going to play until he actually maybe makes it to a practice. I'm not saying he can't be a game-time decision, just play after 2 weeks off, but then it's... Then we get to the effectiveness model. I get told by coaches that, you know, part of Frank Clark's, you know, inability to perform in the last week is, well, you know, like, I think even Spags was saying, like, he took 4 weeks off. He took a month off, man. You take a month off of football, it's, you know, you took all the training camp off, right? So you weren't up to speed. And then you take 2-3 weeks off, it gets hard to get up there. Now, we know that Chris Jones had training camp, so he's not in, like, that kind of shape or missing that kind of shape. But you start getting the point of missing 2-3 weeks, then I got to do the 2-3 week run-up of you getting ready.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're talking like 4 weeks before he's effective.
Yeah, people on the text line, a few people saying, hey, Hill was a running back in college, way better in the backfield. I'm well aware he played running back in college.
I also want him taking those hits. He has a quad injury
Tyreek
already.
Tyreek Hill right now, is on the injury report currently. Tyreek Hill is your best
number
weapon offensively. So I don't want Tyreek Hill in the backfield. Doesn't mean one snap.
I'm not saying he wouldn't be good at it. I'm just saying I don't want it.
And it's not one snap. Like, he's lined up in the backfield this season, as a matter of fact. But the idea that you would want him to get significantly more snaps in the backfield, Tyreek Hill between, if you gave me a choice, Tyreek Hill or McColl Hardman, and this is not this sounds terrible, but I'm more concerned about Tyreek Hill getting hurt than if McColl Hardman got hurt.
If it makes you feel any better, Terry McLaurin hasn't practiced all week either, so he is also questionable for the game. So both teams could be without their starting wide receiver if you want to feel slightly better. They're already out. Curtis Samuel, he already got declared out for Washington.
Yeah, he's been
and they're missing a couple of offensive linemen. Not that that's made a difference, right, to go with it, but I just wonder whether or not Like, to me, it's Tyreek Hill, obviously, or Travis Kelce. If one of those two are missing, we know that the other team is going to shut the other guy down by just sending every last bit of coverage over there. You know what's easier to send coverage over there? When you don't blitz, which we now know teams don't do against Kansas City. So they can shut him down, which means it's got to be a Byron Pringle, DeMarcus Robinson, Josh Gordon, Jerick McKinnon, Blake Bell. Actually, I think he's out this week probably. But whoever.
Got a back injury. I don't know.
Jody Fortson. You throw it to all of the other remaining players on the offense.
Coming up next, there was a tweet from an NFL insider about this Chiefs offense and the defense and who really is to blame. It's a different way to look at it. We'll do that next.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.